Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
Welcome, everyone, into Sports Talk Chicago. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you follow us at Sports Talk Chi on socials if you'd like, or you could follow me personally at Joey Sports Guy. Thank you so much for tuning into the episode. Full disclosure, full transparency, especially for those listening on WLS AM 890, I'm a little under the weather. That's right, Chicago, weather has gotten to me. I've got a little bit of a chest thing, a little bit of a cold, so if you could relate, then you can empathize with what's coming up over the next hour. My voice sounds a little bit off. We are going to get to the Chicago Cubs and Chicago White Sox talk, but we're going to talk a lot of Chicago Bears here in the first half of our episode. Previously on the Chicago Bears, as the bear turns, the Hallis and the Restless, Chicago Bears get absolutely destroyed by the San Francisco 49ers. In an effort that even surprised me. We talk all the time, especially about those that don't play the sport, that you would have to think, even with the season up the track, that the Chicago Bears would be playing for something, playing for pride, playing for their next contract, playing for each other, or playing for new interim head coach Thomas Brown. Well, they didn't play for any of those things last week. That first half was one of the more disappointing, disgusting, and sad first halves I've ever watched as a Chicago Bears fan. I didn't even get the opportunity to get upset. I just kind of went straight into this weird, numb, depressive mode. And we're going to do everything we can as Bears fans not to become apathetic, but man, this season is off the rails and has gone sideways very quickly. We're going to talk about some of the head coaching hires, some of the news and notes regarding that. I'm going to do a deep dive on some of these head coaching candidates, at least the four that are right now are being bandied about and being talked about. But before we do, I just want to talk about that San Francisco 49ers game, because last week, for those of you that tuned in, thank you so much for listening, but I did a wish list, a holiday wish list, my letter to Santa, of some things that I would like to see from the Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams, the rest of this season, heading into an offseason, and what's going to become incredibly pivotal. You thought last offseason with who are they going to take at number one? Is it going to be Justin? Is it going to be Caleb? We got through that. Now this one is now the head coach. These are forks in the road for an organization. And they got to get this one right. So before we get to the candidates, I'm going to revisit some of the things that were on my list. And we're just going to see where we stand with through week one. The first one is I had on my list that I wanted to learn more about Thomas Brown. And by saying learn more about Thomas Brown is, could he be the permanent head coach for the Chicago Bears? Through week one, unfortunately, it's a massive thumbs down. I mean, we could put this game on the players, which we should, because the effort level, you could tell, was not there. But only 4 yards in the first half, in terms of a first impression or a first audition, it couldn't have gone any more poorly for Thomas Brown. And we've been trying to build him up as best we can. But keep in mind, as I've said before on the show, that the bar is incredibly low here in Chicago. And when we talk about offense in Chicago, it's as low as you can go. If it was a limbo bar, it would be above your eyebrows right now. It'd be easy to get under and clear. Because we were giving Thomas Brown credit for some of the things that we've seen over the last 3 weeks. But keep in mind, this Chicago Bears offense in the first half still is slow to start every single game. They're constantly playing from behind. The Detroit game, we want to talk about Caleb in his third and fourth quarter. Well, keep in mind, they were scoreless in that first half. It's been a problem all season long, and I don't think it comes down to a coach, but it comes down to an organizational scheme and what's been put in place in training camp with these players. And it probably isn't going away anytime soon. But unfortunately for Thomas Brown, for his first audition, it couldn't have gone any worse. Is there a way or a path for him to rebound and get back into serious consideration as the next head coach of the Chicago Bears? Sure, but increasingly unlikely. I also talked about on my holiday wish list, I wanted to see a rejuvenation from some of these players, some of these younger players that are trying to develop that Ryan Poles has brought into this organization and see if they can walk into the offseason thinking that these are bankable options heading into the year. I name-checked a couple of guys. One of them was Roschon Johnson, who has a concussion, isn't playing, doesn't really count, right? Jervon Dexter, I mentioned him, left the game on a goal line play. Looks like he got injured there, a lower leg injury. So we'll see what happens there. But in terms of trying to develop players or who we keeping, who's in the boat, who's not in the boat, leaves a lot to be desired. Another thumbs down. Didn't learn anything. Another one is I want to learn more about the Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles dynamic. And if you've been following any of the trades this week, that is another thumbs down on my holiday wish list. Reports from Mark Silverman, who hosts Waddle and Sylvie on a different radio station, mentioning that Ryan Poles took the job in Chicago because he believed he'd have to just report to the owner. And even after Kevin Warren was hired, he felt both of them would still report to the owner, but Ryan Poles wouldn't have to report to Kevin Warren. And after that press conference, there was some belief within Hallis Hall, and I believe it too, based on what I saw with my own eyes during that press conference, that now Ryan Poles has to report to Kevin Warren. What is going on here? It's so brutal, and it's incredibly depressing. We spend way too much time in this town talking about ownership, talking about the stadium, rumors about the politics, the structure, the coaching. We spend so little time talking about what's on the field, and oh, by the way, they're a terrible football team, that it obscures some of these things that are really important. So thumbs down with the Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles dynamic right now. It's not looking good. And it wouldn't shock me if Ryan Poles either walked away from the job or Kevin Warren fires him at the end of the year. That's how bad it's gotten here in Chicago. Which leads me into my next one. The Caleb progression. I want to see Caleb continue to progress. Win a road game against a division rival. Maybe beat the Green Bay Packers. Each week, learn something new about him and keep finding more positive things to say about our future franchise quarterback. Not much I can say out of this game. Thumbs up that he survived. At one point, they punted 5 times in the first half. They got sacked on 4 of the 5 third downs before they punted. And let's be real, a lot of that has to go on the rookie quarterback. And this is chum in the water for people on the YouTube comments to hop in there and say that Caleb is a bust. Not willing to go there. I'm not willing to go there with a rookie quarterback. Again, I'm going to say it for the 1,000th time. The guy deserves at least 30 starts in the league before we start saying whether he is yay or nay in the future of the NFL. And even then, we might not know. But you can't tell me with a straight face that Caleb Williams has stability around him. Name me one person on the Bears right now who's helping Caleb at least either learn the game or insulate and support him towards whatever greatness we'd like to see him in this town. And I'll hang up and listen. The man seems like he's on an island right now. And there's a factor that's going on that he seems to be in between, and that's why we're really missing some leadership here up at Hallis Hall. Where there's a part of him where they named him one of the 8 captains heading into the season. If you ask me, if you have 8 captains, you probably have 7 too many. And in my opinion, naming a 23-year-old rookie quarterback who's only been in the building a couple of weeks on a defense with some guys that have been there a couple of years with your best receiver, DJ Moore, who had really good chemistry with the previous quarterback, naming him captain right away seemed a bit foolish and almost grandstanding. A weird fake way to say or put our arm around Caleb Williams and say, hey, we support you. I think Caleb's got a lot of talent in the world, but we can't make the kid earn it. We made Jonathan Toews earn the C on his jersey in this town. And Matt Eberflus just goes ahead and pops one onto Caleb Williams. So in doing that, there's a part of me with Caleb Williams that think that he's almost trying to do the right thing all the time. That rookie record of over now 200 and, what, 30 or 40 pass attempts without an interception, an NFL rookie record, a Chicago Bears record, is that a good thing? If anything, should we be hoping that our Caleb Williams, our rookie quarterback, is making mistakes? Throw an interception. Take a chance. The one that I don't like is when you fumble the ball, and he hasn't done it up until this last week. That was a gray area call. We'll litigate that at some other time. It doesn't matter because the Chicago Bears are going nowhere. But there's a part of it where Caleb Williams is trying to do all the right things. Who is telling him or guiding him throughout this entire process? Who are the mentors for Caleb Williams? And then finally, all those are thumbs downs. But we do have a thumbs up. My thumbs up is for Rome Odunze. Now, look, I'm not happy, and I don't think Bears fans are happy either. The way that you do a celebration dance after catching your second touchdown when you're down by a billion points is not a great look. But of all the things for a rookie wide receiver to do, of all the things to have a teachable moment, of all things to say, that's an experience right there, it aligns. So I'm not going to go out here and I'm going to tell Rome Odunze, I'm not going to wag my finger at him too hard. I am going to tell him that, hey, you know, read the temperature of the room here. Maybe you shouldn't be doing a big dance after you score your second touchdown of the game. But I'm also not in the business, especially this season, of starting to be the fun police and telling a young player to stop having fun with the game. Because, look, Bears fans ain't having fun. The Chicago Bears is a team not having fun. So I'm not going to go around saying Christmas is canceled if Rome Odunze, you know, has himself a little dance in the end zone. I don't recommend it moving forward if he does it again. I'm going to say something, I'm going to be critical, but he gets a light little pass right now because he's a rookie. But my thumbs up is we want to walk out of this season with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze on the same page with chemistry. That's hopefully our future number one wide receiver in this town. And you want to see them connect as much as possible towards the end of the season. He had one receiving touchdown heading into the game. He's got two in that game, now has three. That is good news. When we think big picture here moving forward, because this season is no longer about wins and losses. Rome Odunze catching passes in the end zone from Caleb Williams, that's a good thing. Now, after my holiday wish list, I want to pivot over and I want to talk about some of these NFL coaching candidates. You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890, and I hope you're having a wonderful Saturday night. Thanks for tuning in. Now, a guest on our show very recently, sports media legend Dan McNeil, came on the show to talk about his book, I Bear Witness. He's been very busy on Twitter this last week or so. And he reported and has been confirmed by other insiders that right now at this time, in this moment, the Chicago Bears are targeting four candidates right now for their head coaching job. And I'm going to go through each of them and give you a little bit of a background. Something, a little intel that you can take to the bar and talk to your buddies with if you want to have a beer and talk some Bears over the holiday. One of them who's not on the list, one that I've talked about here on the show before, Bill Belichick, looks like he's going to the University of North Carolina. Now, for the 4,000th time, or for those tuning in, I had never advocated that I wanted Bill Belichick to be the number one choice to be the next head coach of the Chicago Bears. I simply said that if the Chicago Bears were a serious franchise, which at this current state they are not, in this current iteration, in this moment, they are an unserious franchise. If they were serious, they would at least pick up the phone, have a phone call, and interview the guy. It looks like they're never going to get that opportunity. It is what it is. We wish him the best in North Carolina. But these are four candidates right now that have been confirmed by many insiders, including Dan McNeil, that the Chicago Bears are going to be at least interviewing and talking to when the season's over, when the Super Bowl's over. The first one right now is the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. His name is Joe Brady. Just so happens to be 35 years old. Young, hot hire. When we talk about Matt Nagy and flavors of the week, this is it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this is a guy who in 2019 started his career as the wide receivers coach at LSU. And previously to that, had worked briefly in the NFL as an assistant head coach on the offensive side to Sean Payton. So connections to Sean Payton, you say yourself, okay, I like it. Moved to LSU in 2019 and then immediately in 2020 got the offensive coordinator's role with Matt Rhule in Carolina. Did not last very long. That whole regime got punted. And then he resurfaced in Buffalo, where midway through last season, he replaced offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey in Buffalo after he was fired and became the full-time offensive coordinator for the Bills. Now, the important thing to keep in mind with Joe Brady is that when he took over last year, the Buffalo Bills changed the way they played offense. They moved into more of a balanced running attack. They got James Cook going, and they were able to see some success and some results. Heading into this year, he's on the hot name list because Josh Allen is playing out of his mind and is perhaps pound for pound the best quarterback playing right now in the NFL. I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback, but playing right now, Josh Allen is the MVP and he's at the top of his game. So naturally, just the same way that he got Brian Daboll a job in New York, which, by the way, Brian Daboll might be on his way out, Josh Allen is now on the cusp of promoting another offensive coordinator to a head coaching job with Joe Brady. For me, this doesn't check a lot of boxes. The only one that I would be interested in, obviously, is from his offensive perspective and hearing where he would want to come from, how he would handle Caleb Williams. But there's a lot that goes into being a head coach of a football team. And at 35 years old, this is not something that I think that the Chicago Bears would do. But definitely a person I think that they should talk to. The other person on the list is Brian Flores, currently a defensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, this guy comes from the Bill Belichick tree. He's a four-time Super Bowl coach, four-time Super Bowl champion coach. For those that don't remember, he has had a wild last couple of years. After winning four Super Bowls with the New England Patriots, he was a special teams coach, he was a linebackers coach, all sorts of different positions with that team, got a head coaching job with Miami. First year, Miami started the season 0-7, then rebound and ended up going 5-4 the rest of the way. In the second season, they ended up going 10-6, but as we all remember, Tua Tagovailoa was drafted, and he immediately went with the veteran quarterback. And did not go and opted to sit Tua on the bench at the time. Third season started 1-7 and then somehow finished 8-1. So it has been a roller coaster for him in Miami, and that doesn't even get started. That was just on the field. Once he was fired by the Miami Dolphins, he filed a lawsuit against the owner, Stephen Ross, claiming the owner offered him $100,000 for every game that they would lose just so that the Dolphins could get a better draft pick. Obviously, Flores declined that $100,000 offer, and that probably was part of the reason why he got fired. He then filed a lawsuit against the NFL claiming two things. One, claiming that John Elway and the Denver Broncos, when they conducted an interview with him, conducted what he considered to be a sham interview, claiming that John Elway showed up hungover and that they didn't seriously consider him for the job, simply brought him in for the Rooney Rule. And then also inadvertently got text messages from Bill Belichick, letting him know that Brian Daboll had gotten the job for New York before they had actually gone through the Rooney Rule process. So Brian Daboll was promised the gig before Brian Flores even interviewed for the Giants job, went in and interviewed another sham interview. So this is a guy who's been through a lot. Immediately went over to the Pittsburgh Steelers, spent a year there. Mike Tomlin sang his praises, and then he's become the defensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings the last 2 years. By all accounts, this guy knows defense. And if you've played against the Minnesota Vikings, which the Bears have, also known for a lot of blitzing. Now, at some points during this course of the season, their defense has struggled at moments where I think the blitz happy nature has been kind of solved, or you know, the sheen and the glitz of blitzing all the time, the fear factor has been lessened a little bit, and teams have been able to work around it. But Brian Flores is a very, very capable coach, has NFL head coach experience. As you notice, has seen some successes, he's seen some peaks, and he's seen some valleys. And if you just kind of read between the tea leaves of this lawsuit, I'm not in these rooms, but it looks like he got railroaded by the Miami Dolphins. Got a bad shake. The question remains with Brian Flores is, what would his relationship with Caleb Williams be and what would it look like? Tua Tagovailoa also has been on record saying that Brian Flores treated him terribly when the two of them worked together in the building in Miami. Didn't believe in him, didn't trust him. Paraphrasing, made him feel like he was lesser than as a quarterback. Brian Flores says that he's matured and he's grown from those experiences, and we can only hope but believe him. But the Chicago Bears, that's a person on the list they want to talk to. And a lot of times in the NFL, the thing that happens is a lot of these guys do get a second crack at it after learning from their mistakes, and some of them actually do flourish in their new situation. Other of them never get another crack at it, and some of them that do get a second crack at it, cough, cough, Josh McDaniels, were never meant to have the position in the first place. But Brian Flores 1,000% is somebody worth talking to if you're the Chicago Bears. The next one is the hot name around town, and you've heard this guy's name before, I guarantee you, if you talk Chicago Bears football. It's Ben Johnson, the current offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Walk-on QB at North Carolina in his playing days, began as QB's coach in Miami in 2012. When asked in interviews who his offensive scheme is based on, his influences include Adam Gase, who, if you remember, was a terrible head coach for the New York Jets, but actually put together a pretty solid season with him and Jay Cutler in that final year before Jay left the team in 2013, and also influenced by some of the offensive schemes of Mike Martz. Take that for what you will. Now, Ben Johnson is a hot name because right now the Detroit Lions not only almost made the Super Bowl last year, had a lead in the second half of that Super Bowl last year, but this year, between them and the Eagles, they're 1A, 1B, the best teams in the NFC, and have a great shot at making a Super Bowl. Ben Johnson also is responsible for helping usher a rejuvenation of Jared Goff's career. Jared Goff was a throw-in when they made that Matt Stafford deal. What Detroit wanted was the draft compensation. They weren't giddy about Jared Goff. They thought he could be a placeholder that might just move them down the path, but him and Ben Johnson, they made sweet music together. And he is, bar none, the hot offensive name that is going to be a candidate for the Chicago Bears in the offseason. So if you like offense and you want to go on that path, Ben Johnson is your guy. Now, keep in mind with Ben Johnson, the offensive line with the Detroit Lions is leaps and bounds, a country mile better than what the Chicago Bears have right now. Chicago Bears do not have a Frank Ragnow, do not have a Taylor Decker, do not have a Penei Sewell. The Detroit Lions backfield, Jahmyr Gibbs, we do not have that on the Chicago Bears right now. We had David Montgomery, we decided not to pay him, but we don't have a guy who's grinding out yards in between the tackles, a guy who, when Dan Campbell on every moment says go for it on 4th and 2, the Chicago Bears don't have a guy that they can hand the ball to and confidently get those 2 yards. And in my opinion, Amon-Ra St. Brown on the Detroit Lions is a better receiver than any of the receivers on the Bears right now. Sam Laporta, their tight end, better than Cole Kmet. So all the pieces in Detroit that Ben Johnson has working right now, running on all cylinders, all those pieces are more talented and better than what the Chicago Bears have. So the question is, can Ben Johnson create the same results or a facsimile of that here in Chicago, with maybe lesser pieces on the talent side of things? It's a big question. And finally, the fourth candidate. Now, this candidate is the one that I think is probably the best move for the Chicago Bears moving forward. And I am going to detail why on the other side of this break. But first, we're going to take a quick break here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos. You're listening on WLS AM 890. We will be right back.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Coming back here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. I hope you're having a wonderful Saturday night, Chicago. We're here every single Saturday night from 8 to 9 talking Chicago Bears and other Chicago sports. We're going to get to Cubs and White Sox before this episode is over, but I do want to finish up my thought. If you're just joining us now on the other side of the break, there are four candidates right now that the Chicago Bears are going to interview, confirmed by multiple Chicago Bears insiders over this past week, heading into this offseason, one of them being Dan McNeil, who was on the show here just this last week. And this fourth candidate right now, I think, in my opinion, should probably be the leader in the clubhouse, outside of a couple of hypotheticals that I'll also name towards the end here. But this fourth candidate is the guy who I think has the best shot at turning this organization around and maybe the type of coach that we need in Chicago right now. I've mentioned Brian Flores, the current defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, Ben Johnson, the current offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, and Joe Brady, the current offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. The fourth candidate on this list is the former head coach of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel is a three-time Super Bowl champion, playing linebacker for the New England Patriots. He was a linebacker's coach for the New England Patriots and then became the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Linebacker, does that sound like something you could be interested in Chicago? This guy's tough. He's hard-nosed. He's still huge. Him and Dan Campbell in a cage match, I'd love to see it. He's got a 54-45 career record with the Tennessee Titans, and those records are as follows. He went 9-7, 9-7, 11-5, 12-5, 7-10, and then 6-11, and then was fired. He has two playoff wins on his resume. He's been to an AFC title game, and he's 2-3 in playoffs in general. Four straight winning seasons with the Tennessee Titans. Now, before you say, Joey, that isn't that impressive, just keep in mind that it's been 40 years since the Chicago Bears have had three winning seasons in a row. Vrabel did four in a row right off the bat. Something, I'm sorry, I'm immediately interested in. And maybe my bar is low. But this is the guy, the adult in the room, who could turn this whole thing around. He's the face of the organization. First of all, I think Chicago would love him. The guy is tough. He's no nonsense. And to be honest with you, may ruffle some of the feathers on this current roster. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think Mike Vrabel coming in here as the Chicago Bears head coach may mean that some of these dudes that are currently on this roster, offense or defense, may be on their way out the door because they don't match the attitude that he wants to bring to the football team. And I say, let's have it. We need a cleansing. And I am so tired of, excuse me, other sports media people on different radio stations telling you that Ryan Poles has been building this thing the right way. That's all I heard all summer long. Ryan Poles is building this the right way. Well, clearly, as we now know, he was building it the wrong way. And he was building it in reverse. And the one thing that we need to focus on moving forward is I think we have talent on this team. But we need a complete overhaul on our offensive line and our defensive line. We got to get nasty. We got to get tough again. Right now, the Chicago Bears are soft. The Chicago Bears fans are tough. We need to get that to match up. I think Mike Vrabel can do that. Now, he's a defensive-minded head coach. Antithetical to the progress of Caleb, you might say. The only thing that I will offer to keep in mind is that he's hired three offensive coordinators in Tennessee during his tenure. The first one was Matt LaFleur, currently the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And then the other one was Arthur Smith, who then went off and got a head coaching job for the Atlanta Falcons. It didn't work out, and now he's rejuvenated Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. So at the very least, we can have a conversation about Mike Vrabel and at least give him credit that he's had the opportunity and the ability to identify offensive coordinator talent and bring them into Chicago. For those of you that might want to comment immediately, well, that just means we'll lose an offensive coordinator 2 years and we'll just have to bring someone else in. Can we just have that problem and then deal with it then? That's a good problem to have. Name the first offensive coordinator in this town that got stolen away to another job that isn't named Adam Gase. And that didn't even work out. We get so ahead of ourselves in this town that let's just start with step one, progress. Step two, success. And then step three, deal with those problems at another time. I think Mike Vrabel is exactly what this team needs. Am I saying that he's a slam dunk, that he's automatically going to lead us to the Super Bowl? No, I don't. But I think he's the type of voice that this Bears organization needs right now. And if you want to play the game, you've also seen reports where they don't want to bring in too big of a voice like a Mike Vrabel because there's too much oxygen and there's too much egos in the room with Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. I will tell you that that's a lie. It's total BS. Anyone worth their salt with confidence, with an ego, knows that they can coexist with other people. And at some point, Chicago, we need to start realizing here that when people say this stuff to us, they almost treat us like we're stupid. And they fail to realize what this town is all about. Whenever you hear, we can't bring in so-and-so player because he's different or maybe a disruptor. This was the town that embraced Dennis Rodman. So when I hear, oh, we can't bring in a big personality because it would take up too much oxygen that's already being occupied by Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. The people that say that, do they forget that in this town, we had in the same room at one point, Jerry Krause, Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and then eventually Dennis Rodman. I don't know about you, but I think all those egos somehow coexisted to great success. And I know it didn't end the way that we wanted it to, but we did it for about 9 years. So don't pull this over on Chicago sports fans. It's a lie. It's a narrative. And no offense, I thought Kevin Warren was hired to build a stadium, not be the biggest ego in the football room. Now, the two hypotheticals that I did mention, where I do want to see personally, I don't know about head coach, but if you want to talk about Mike Vrabel and you want to talk about a soft landing spot for a coach that might be on his way out, I think Brian Daboll in New York, if he gets fired, would make a great offensive coordinator. And then, of course, the other hypothetical, and this one, again, I'm writing to Santa, is that would Sean McVay possibly become available solely in the sense that he was looking for a change, a new challenge in his life? And keep in mind, with the Los Angeles Rams, they already won a Super Bowl. Aaron Donald retired. There were rumors that Sean McVay needed to walk away and take a year off because he was burnt out on the job. Burnt out probably with just the situation, the organization of L.A. Now, would he want to leave his palatial estate in Malibu to come live in Chicago? Look, you can still keep that house in Malibu and still come coach in Chicago. I'm not buying that for a second. For a guy who just moved from L.A. to Chicago, it's not that big of a stretch. Would it cost draft capital? Absolutely. Do I think it will happen? I don't. But I'm going to continue to have this conversation on Sports Talk Chicago in the coming weeks because I just want the Chicago Bears to turn over every stone and cast a wide net. You can jump in the comments if you want to and call me crazy, call it stupid, call it a waste of your time. That's fine. I'm going to continue to entertain every single possibility for the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams to get to where they want to go. And sometimes these pie-in-the-sky conversations need to happen. The Chicago Cubs and Joe Maddon, that came out of nowhere. But for those of you that don't care, I actually have been talking about that for a while. You got to get creative. You got to start thinking outside of the box. And sometimes you need to go out there and you need to just get what you want and pay the price tag that it takes to get what you want. Sean McVay would be that scenario. It's highly unlikely, but it's worth a phone call. Again, if you are a serious franchise, you're casting a wide net. You're thinking through every scenario. You're turning over every stone to get this right. And that's the most important thing for the Chicago Bears moving forward. Before we move on to the Cubs, look, I've been making predictions every single week on the show. I'm 8-5 on my record right now, picking wins and losses. Look, I'm picking the Chicago Bears to lose. I don't really know if I'm going to pick the Chicago Bears to win another game this year, which would be so depressing, which would put them at 11 straight losses, which means that in Ryan Poles' era, crossed over two seasons, the Chicago Bears have lost 13 in a row and possibly 11 in a row. They're at 7 right now. But on Monday night in Minnesota, where this team is going, the way that they've played these first halves, I'm going Minnesota Vikings 31, Chicago Bears 17. I want to see Caleb cut it loose. Again, my holiday wish list is watching Caleb win a division road game. I hope he proves me wrong and shows me that he can do it. But let's cut it loose a little bit. You got nothing else to lose. Let's make some plays. Let's make some mistakes. And let's try and learn from them. Because now's the time to do it. Next year, I don't want to still be dealing with a learning curve. I want to try and get this thing going as quick as we can. So I'm willing to let Caleb make mistakes. I hope you two are as well as Bears fans. And also, I want to say, who's still in the boat here? Or who's jumped off? Who's 1-2-3 Cancun this thing? Do the Bears have any pride whatsoever to try and at least play tough? We shall see. That's going to do it here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy if you'd like to. You can follow us at Sports Talk Shy on socials if you would like. Have a wonderful Saturday night, Chicago. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the listen. I will be back next week, hopefully feeling a little bit better than I did with this one. A little under the weather this week, but I will be back. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk soon. And until then, see you soon, Chicago.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.